wanted to tell you, I grew up in an evangelical church. So some of you, we grew up in the same church here, but we grew up in a tongue-talking, you know, flag-waving, banner-swirling church, all right? Tambourine smacking you in the face. Like, that was Sunday, and if it didn't happen, God wasn't there, right? So I grew up in a church like that. That is how I grew up, right? So word of knowledge, someone giving a tongue, someone else giving an interpretation, a word of knowledge, prophetic word, deliverance, all of those things were regular. They happened regularly. So they're not something that I'm afraid of or that I would question as, is that for today? I believe they were because I saw them in action. I saw God move through people. I heard someone give a tongue, and on the other side of the church, someone give an interpretation. And I thought, man, God is so cool because he's there and there at the same time. I just thought it was so, that's how I grew up. So around 2019, when I started seeing the gift of prophecy become something that I believe God had not called it to be, it grieved my heart. It grieved my heart in a heavy way. Because what we saw was, we saw flip on YouTube and we saw a teleprophet giving a word about some, sports team or who was going to be elected or what was going to happen. And the problem was it didn't sit well in my spirit because I had experienced real. Then all of a sudden you see counterfeit and you're like, wait, this seems like a false situation here. And so there was a part of me that was extremely grieved during that 2019 to, I would say, maybe 21 timeframe. It was like they were just coming out of the woodwork. And what I didn't like hearing was there was this New York Times article that came out about a research project that had been done. And the research project said that astrology, astronomy, psychic reading, fortune telling, and Christian prophecy were all on the rise. And it bothered me because I thought, how did our gift from the Spirit of God get lumped into some demonic practice? It made me mad, church, mad. And here's why. Because we had people running after a gift instead of the giver of the gift. And that's a problem. Whenever you start to run after what is God doing instead of God, we've got a problem. Yeah. We've got a big problem. And so I want to talk to you today about this gift and about how I believe in our church, how God has called us to use it and to use it in this body, not 25 years ago in the 80s, but like today, he's called us to this today. And what does that look like? And I think as I prayed through that season of, Lord, is this of you? What are you doing here? This verse in 2 Timothy, and it was 4:3-4, and it says this, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase myths. During that season, that's what we saw. We saw people running after the counterfeit, trying to get some simulation of God, when all you have to do is sit quietly in the morning with your Heavenly Father, and he'll speak to you exactly what he needs you to hear for that day. It's probably not going to be on YouTube. It's probably not, because it doesn't relate to you in this body of believers right here. It might relate globally, sure. But to be honest with you, can we just handle our house and get it in order first before we start worrying globally? Amen. I'm sorry. Come on, I'm not the one today. You he said we don't want him to talk today. So I want to tell you about this story in the Old Testament. And I was really wrestling with this, and I'm like, Lord, how am I going to convey this? And he's so good. He's so good, because you'll just be doing your devotions, right? And you'll just stumble upon something like you stumbled on it, right? Like our steps aren't ordered by God. And so there's a story in Jeremiah. And if you're taking notes, it's chapters 27, 28, and 29. And it's so good. And let me just break it down for you a little bit. So what was happening in this time period is that there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. Some of you have heard this. No one can spell it. It's fine. So there's this king, Nebuchadnezzar, and the story with Nebuchadnezzar is that he's a pretty terrible human being. He's pretty terrible. He's rotten. He's abusive. And what he's doing is he's just acquiring. He's one of those kings who just wants more and more and more. He's not satisfied or settled in his own place, that he just wants more and more. So he's capturing kingdoms and bringing people into captivity and exiling people. And here comes this king of Judah, and I think it's Zedekiah is his name. And so what happens is the nation of Israel's been captured. And so Zedekiah decides, you know what? We're going to see with all the other nations that have been captured during this time, we're going to bring all of them together, all the ambassadors, and we're going to decide if we're going to go up against this Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to do it. And so they gather together, and all their prophets gather together, and all their people gather together, and they decide, we're going to go after this king. We're going to go after him. We're going to take him. And this is what is so crazy, is there's a prophet in the Old Testament called Jeremiah. And the Lord actually tells him something completely opposite of what everybody else is doing, what every other prophet says. And so what he says, God tells him to make a yoke. Y'all know what a yoke is? It like saddles an ox and it makes them go. He says, make a yoke and wear it like a necklace. Because this is what he says, Jeremiah 27, 4 through 8. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. With my great strength and powerful arm, I made the earth and all its people and every animal. I can give these things of mine to anyone I choose. Now I will give your countries to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who is my servant. Listen to this. He is my servant. I have put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. All the nations will serve him, his sons and his grandsons, until his time is up. So you must submit to Babylon's king and serve him. Put your neck under Babylon's yoke. I will punish any nation that refuses to be his slave, says the Lord. I will send war, famine, and disease upon the nation until Babylon is conquered. So Jeremiah is bringing this unpopular message that's completely the opposite of what everybody else is saying. Every other prophet is saying, every other person is saying, every other king is saying, we're gonna fight, we're gonna destroy, we're gonna do. And Jeremiah is saying, that is not what God has called us to do. That is not. There's this prophet named Hananiah who stands up in church and he gives a prophetic word. He gives this prophetic word. And he basically says, we're supposed to fight. So we're going to fight and we're going to do everything we can. We're going to overthrow the government. We're going to overthrow the countries. We're going to overthrow the capital. We're taking it all because that's what we're supposed to do. We're free and that's what we're supposed to do. Y'all, listen to this. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 11. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. Listen to this, guys. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. You listen to what he said. I, God, have called you into captivity for 70 years. Church, sit in it. Feel the weight of that for a second. Because there are some of you, oh, Jesus, come on. There are some of you that would fight needlessly, There are some of you that are cut and scarred and marked up, and it's needless. And God's saying, stop it. Submit. Your self-sabotage is going to ruin your life. Stop. Listen to what he finishes. Yeah. You should have done this message, probably. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a hope and a future. That's where that verse comes in. In captivity, in bondage, in a place that feels like, man, I don't want to be in this place anymore, Lord. And God's saying, in that place is where I'm actually going to bless you. That's where I'm actually going to free you. In that place that you considered was, oh, I'm above this. And God's saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because in the midst of what feels like hell, I've got all kinds of blessings for you. All kinds of blessings for you. So some of you are in this house today and you're thinking, like, I'm my own person. I'm going to do my own thing. And God's saying, if you would just submit underneath somebody else's rule and reign for just a second, I've got so many things for you. So many things for you. Some of you are working a job that you hate, and God's saying, it's actually that job that's going to bless you and get you out of debt and get you out of financial bondage, but you keep fighting me on it. You keep fighting me on it. He's called you. He's equipped you. He's given you the grace that you need. There are some of you that God is saying, I need you to close down that business that you started, and I need you to go work for someone else. You want to know why? Because it's in that place that he's called you, and that's where your blessing lies. I can't stress this enough today because of what I felt in my spirit as I was preparing for this, that the Lord gave them a prophetic word, but he gave them a promise inside of that where he said, marry, live, thrive, grow. Even in a place of captivity, I'm still God. Yeah. He's still God. He can still cause things to birth inside of you and places for you to grow and things for you to do, even in a place that feels like, man, why does this feel like captivity to me? He's called you, church. I'm telling you, there are certain things, and that's what it means to play free. This whole thing about Richie's book, that's exactly what it means to play free, because there are certain places that God has called you to. There are certain things. We're always going to live under government rule. Always. No matter what happens in life or in society, we're always going to live under government rule. We're always going to have some kind of censorship, some kind of dictatorship, some kind of thing. If we're not living in an actual place where there's persecution, you're going to have something else that you're going to have to fight against. But here's the thing. Can you thrive in the midst of submission? Or are you such a wild stallion that you can't be broken? I can't right now. I'm so sweaty. I was so cold before I got here today. I'm so sweaty right now. I'm like Lake Michigan, Lake Erie. It's crazy right now. So let's talk about it from this perspective. So we have the voice of a prophet, right? So we have prophecy. Tongues last week, prophecy this week. Okay? And the reason why we're talking about these things is because Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 14, I want you to operate in all the gifts that God has called you to. We believe that all of them are for today, but I need you to have some order. I need you to have some decency in how you operate in those gifts. There has to be accountability in the use of those gifts. So the problem with 2019, 20 and 22, 21, was that there was no accountability in the gifts. It was just like a free-for-all, like just whoever thinks that they can say a word today, say a word today. And that's not the way it works. And so what happens is you have a minimization of a gift that God has given us. And what we need to do is we need to walk in power, love, and self-discipline. We have to have accountability in those gifts. And so I want to answer a couple of questions today based on 1 Corinthians 14 and how the Lord is asking us to operate in this house. And the first question is this: what is prophecy? C-Y, not S-Y, Jenny. Right? Yes. I got it right. I was spelling it wrong for days. Anyway, what is prophecy? Prophecy is simply a message from God. A message from God. That's it. Don't complicate it. It doesn't have to be a tongue and interpretation and all that other kind of stuff. It's just a message from God. Romans 12:6 says this, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. It's a spiritual gift given by God. Use your gift. If God has given you a prophetic word, sit on it for a second, but use your gift. We're going to talk about the order of that. Question number two, what is the purpose of prophecy? What is its purpose? To strengthen the body of Christ. To strengthen the body of Christ. So if your prophetic word is doom and gloom, we need to wait a little bit until it can be seasoned with love, right? Because if it's so devastating and disastrous, that is not from God. It's not. Because anytime he gives a word, we just heard it. He told the Israelites, for 70 years, you're going to be in captivity, but I'm going to bless you in the midst of that. There's always hope. We serve a God of hope. So if all you're doing is spewing negativity and like, well, good, now you're going to die because you elected that guy. You know, like if that's all we're doing, like if that's all we're doing and that's our prophetic word, then we're turning people away from the body of Christ instead of bringing people to the body of Christ. He's called us to a life of faith, but he's also called us to love and to care for people. We have to. 1 Corinthians 14:3-4 says this, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I love that. I love that. Because you know what that means? That gift is still for today. He still called us to encourage, to strengthen, and to bring comfort. There shouldn't be a prophetic word that's uttered in this house that is like, now you're dead, without, but then I'll raise you back to life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it needs to have some kind of hope assigned to it and attached to it. That's the whole purpose of it. So make sure that your prophetic word has hope assigned to it, as God would call us. And then how are we going to use that gift here in this house, in this body? The first thing is you're going to ask the Lord to encourage his church through this gift of prophecy in you. He says, eagerly desire this gift, eagerly desire it. So we want to make sure that we are praying that we use this gift regularly in our house, in the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ. The second thing is check your motive. Check your motive. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Let love. That's how he starts off the chapter that we're talking about. Let love be your highest goal. That means if I'm coming from a place of anger, it's probably not God. And if I'm so passionate about what the Lord has given me, I need to sit on that until it comes across as love, until it's seasoned with the reason why he died on the cross, which was love. That's the whole purpose. The third thing is spend quality time with the Lord and in his presence. The only reason why Jeremiah could deliver a word that was completely opposite of what everybody else was saying is because he heard from the Lord. We have to hear from the Lord if we're gonna speak on behalf of him. If I just get up there and start rambling my thoughts and what I feel without sitting with him, it lacks power and it lacks credibility, because history proved the very opposite of what all those other prophets were saying. And I think that's what we saw last year. We saw a whole bunch of people who said they were prophets and gave a prophetic word coming on and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, yeah, duh, because you didn't hear from God. Because you press play on YouTube and your word was not from God. It was motivated by something else. And we have to be careful, because what we do is we discredit the gifts in the body of Christ and we minimize them to things like fortune telling, which is not what God called it to be at all. And this is where the accountability comes in. We have to have that. The last thing is share your prophetic word with the leadership of the church. I know this can feel a little bit like, what are we trying to do? Like, control the situation? But let me tell you what, Richie said, yeah. No, we're not. We're not. But let me tell you why there needs to be accountability in church. Because if we're going to do things decently and in order, that means we don't want to cause chaos or confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. And if an unbeliever comes into our church and sees people speaking in tongues, you know, going crazy, laying on of hands, and then giving a prophetic word, then somebody else gives another prophetic word, and then another prophetic word, and none of them line up, it's confusing. So what we ask is that you share that with somebody in leadership here in the church. If it's a word from God, it'll keep. A couple of months ago, the Lord gave me what I believe was a prophetic word for our church. And I didn't feel it was for the whole world. I felt like it was for our body of believers. And so I shared it with Rich. And I said, hey, what do you think? And he goes, I don't think we share that right now. I said, okay, because I trust that whatever God's going to do in this house, that it's going to be for our people and for our time. And that when it is shared, that it'll be received. That's what we want, right? So I just sat on that word and honestly kind of forgot about it until a couple of weeks ago, last week when I was doing team rally and I was studying, I said, hey, the Lord kind of reminded me of that word. What do you think? And he goes, yep. I think you share it this week. And honestly, I felt a release and peace about sharing that word. That all that is accountability. That's it. So we can have a gift. God can give it to us. Nobody's taking that gift away from you, but you can have accountability in the way that you use that and use it in such a way that the entire body is encouraged and that they're strengthened because of that word. Not going, is this normal? Is this okay? When I invited friends from my school, I went to a very Baptist school, And when I would invite friends from school, they would come to church and they'd be like, y'all are wild. This is out of order. This is insane. I mean, we got made fun of all the time at school. And it was honestly like when I take a step back, I think, man, the Spirit of God was there, but if we would have done it decently and in order, would it have been received better? You know? And I wonder about that even today in the body. I believe, listen, there is a prophetic word that happens almost every week at this church in some form or fashion. The Lord either speaks it through Richie, or he'll use Sharon, or he'll use somebody else, anybody else, Dawn, whoever, to speak a word for our church. And it's well received, and it strengthens us, and it encourages the body of Christ. It doesn't cause disunity or chaos. It's timely. And so that's how we want to use that, our gifts, in the way that he's called us. Band, if you would come up, please. The last thing that I want to read to you is this. It's 1 Corinthians 14, 31 through 33, and then 39 through 40. And it says this, in this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done decently and in order. I love that. It's the little backpack, decently and in order. That's all it is. It's just that we are supplying an opportunity. We're providing an opportunity for God's Spirit to move in such a way that everybody's strengthened and everybody's encouraged. It may look different for Team Rally. It may look different for Wednesday night prayer meeting, but on Sunday morning, is it decent and is it in order? That's it. That's the whole purpose of this entire series, is that we just have accountability in our gifts and that we use them to strengthen and encourage the body. Let's stand. Will you pray with me? Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room. God, that you've uniquely put your spirit inside of them. God, you've given them special gifts that relate to the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray specifically for this gift of prophecy, God. I pray that your church would walk in power. Lord, that we wouldn't settle for a cheap imitation. God, but that we would stand firm on your promises, knowing that these gifts are for today. I pray that you would help us and encourage us, Father God, in using those. Lord, give us the ability, Father God, to walk in all that you've called us to. Lord, I come against a spirit of rebellion. I come against a spirit in our mind, Father God, that would cause us to divert our attention to the gifts aren't for today. Lord, we know that they are for today, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, God, to be all that you've called us to be. And God, even if that means we have to submit in a situation that feels like captivity or bondage, God, we know that your grace is sufficient. That if you've called us to that situation, God, that your grace is gonna sustain us through that process. So Lord, I pray that we wouldn't kick and fight. God, that we wouldn't be rebellious. Lord, but that we would keep our mind and our hearts focused, God, on what you have for us. Lord, I pray that in this house, your people would learn to live free and play free no matter where they are, no matter what their circumstances are. God, whether they have much or whether they have little, God, I thank you that you're their provider and that you are keeping us and sustaining us. Lord, I pray that not one person would walk away from you. Father God, because the boundaries that you've placed us in feel too difficult and too tight. I thank you that you've positioned us because you have a purpose for us. Lord, let us see past what we want into what you have for us, God. We want to walk in all the blessings that you have for us, God. Lord, if it means you have to break our will, God, so that your will and your spirit can be poured out through us, Lord, do that in your house. God, if it means that we have to submit when we don't want to, Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to do that. We thank you that in those seasons of testing and trying, Lord, that you are greater. Lord, that you've given us grace and your anointing is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.